Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist David K. Johnston has been reporting on Donald Trump for decades. And in his last book, The Making of Donald Trump, he gave us an account of the president's history and business. Now David K. Johnston is back with an examination of President Trump's first year in office, and he's not pulling any punches with the title. His new book is called It's Even Worse Than You Think: What the Trump Administration is Doing to America, and it's published by Simon & Schuster. I spoke with David K. Johnston in February, and we're rebroadcasting that conversation for you now. I began by asking him about President Trump's silence in response to the Dow Jones, which had just plunged more than 1,000 points, and whether or not the president's lack of response was just run-of-the-mill politics.
Well, this is standard Donald Trump. Other presidents recognize they don't control the market, and we generally give far too much credit and far too much blame to presidents for the economy. But Trump not being knowledgeable about things, I mean, he's appallingly ignorant, as I point out in both books from his own words, doesn't think ahead. He's not a strategic thinker. He thinks in the moment. So when the market's rising, why, isn't that great for Trump? It all tells you how great Trump is. When the market's falling, what are you talking about? The economy's strong. Go away.
All right. Well, the president also attacked Democrats for their subdued reaction to his State of the Union. And we have a clip. It's worth hearing.
They were like death. And un-American. Un-American. Somebody said treasonous. I mean, yeah, I guess why not? You know. Can we call that treason? Why not? I mean, they certainly didn't seem to love our country very much.
So David K. Johnston, many critics and analysts, even historians, are sounding the alarm that this president sounds as though he's saying he is the state. Is that your reading of it?
Absolutely. Donald Trump is a dictator in waiting. He talks like a dictator. I wish during the election that we had put real reporters, not TV personalities, in the position of asking questions in the debates. We would have gotten much better questions. And one of them that Trump should have been asked is this. You've been talking about running for president for 30 years. Presumably you have read and even studied the job description. Please tell us with specificity where it is and what are the duties, powers, and limits of the presidency. And I assure you Donald would have given an answer along the lines of the one he gave when one of the real questioners, the right-wing radio talk show host and lawyer Hugh Hewitt, asked him about the nuclear triad. Donald was unaware this is the ability of the government to deliver, if necessary, nuclear bombs from land-based missiles, sea-based missiles, or jet planes. And Trump just went, oh, nuclear, it's awesome. It's like, it's awesome. It's so powerful. It's awesome. And because of my uncle, you know, at MIT, one of the smartest people ever, I know everything about it. He doesn't know anything. and he doesn't know that the president is our employee. He is simply a subordinate to us who has temporarily been imbued with power to act on our behalf, and that his duty is to faithfully execute the laws passed by Congress.
Well, you say, David, that he doesn't know it, or does he just not care?
Both. I mean, first of all, seriously, he doesn't know. In both of my books, I quote his testimony under oath and his statements that display an appalling ignorance, especially in economics, where he was given, and I emphasize the verb given, a degree in economics by Penn. He certainly didn't earn it. But he also doesn't care. Donald is different from every other president in one regard. Seen in the context of their times, we've had presidents who were great, ones who were terrible, ones who were smart, dumb, honest. We had the incredibly corrupt Chester Arthur, who's probably closest to Trump. But when he got to the White House, because the president died and he was elevated from vice president, Chester Arthur called all his cronies down from New York politics and said, gentlemen, this stops. I'm now president of the United States. Do not darken the White House door again. Told them to leave, and we got the Pendleton Civil Service Act as a result, and a professional government. Trump has now made it very clear, including in the State of the Union address, that he wants to dismantle that and create a patronage government. That's one of the things dictators want.
Now, Chester Arthur, 21st president of the United States, that goes back to the late 1800s. Many people have been making a comparison to President Nixon, of course, of the Watergate scandal, who resigned in disgrace. What about that analogy?
Well, Richard Nixon, who signed the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act and a lot of other pretty good laws, I don't think is comparable to Trump. First of all, nobody had any reason to doubt. The most vigorous hater of Richard Nixon never doubted the man's patriotism. No one suspected or even thought he was an agent, for example, of China just because he went and opened up relations with Mao. On the other hand, Donald Trump has demonstrated clearly that he owes some sort of fealty to Vladimir Putin. And if you go back and read carefully the email from Rob Goldstone to Donald Trump Jr. in June of 2016, an email that Don Jr. denied existed a month after he got it, and that a year later, some of my former colleagues at the New York Times brilliantly sussed out, whereupon Don Jr. released the emails. The fourth paragraph, if I recall correctly, says, as part of Russia and its government's effort to support your father's campaign, it is illegal to accept anything of value from a foreign government in a federal election, and the only thing any decent American, anybody with an ounce of patriotism would do when getting an email like that, if they're loyal, is to pick up the phone and call the FBI and say, I need to speak to someone in counterintelligence. What we've seen the Trumps do is lie and deny repeatedly about this, and that's part of this fundamental problem we have that makes this president like none other.
In the last book, The Making of Donald Trump, as I read it, you described businessman Trump as a modern P.T. Barnum and as a grifter. This does not sound to be a sequel. This sounds to be so much worse. You're impugning his motives much more deeply than a P.T. Barnum or a grifter.
Well, P.T. Barnum, you know, never hurt anybody, but he sold people fakes and hoaxes. Come see the Fiji mermaid. Donald Trump has hurt a lot of people. Illegal immigrants he refused to pay and had to be forced by a court to pay after a finding of conspiracy. He's been twice tried for tax fraud, lost both cases. He confessed to sales tax cheating. He did lots of bad things. The reason we put the title, It's Even Worse Than You Think, on it, is that what's in this book is what you have not heard or you've only gotten passing mention of in the news. It's not the palace intrigues. You want to know about the gossip and the palace intrigues, go read Michael Wolff's book. It does a good job of telling you that. My book is about what he's doing to our government and what that means to you, to your income, to your health, to your safety, to your children, and if you're my age, your grandchildren's future.
You're drilling down on policy. You're drilling down on the judiciary. You're drilling down on the cabinet members and what you call the termites
right,
who are infiltrating the government. Talk a bit about that. Which cabinet members do you think are doing the most to advance the Trump agenda? Is it Jeff Sessions, Betsy DeVos at Education? Is it Scott Pruitt at EPA? Maybe Ben Carson is the silent danger in your view, or maybe even someone like the chief of staff, John Kelly. And explain to us, what is a termite? Who are those people?
The termites, Jamie, are the people you haven't seen. The people Scott Pruitt brought into EPA, which he's vowed to destroy, who have gone into the bureaucracy and said, you will not do this, you will not publish this research, you will not use these words, you will not go to this meeting. Pruitt ordered, and I tell the story of a particular government executive because she had retired just as I was finishing the book and could freely talk about it. Pruitt's people went to the Clean Water Act managers, and they demanded a completely thorough report of every possible weakness in seeking to bring sanctions, civil or criminal, against polluters of our waterways. And being bureaucrats, they did what they were told. They wrote these incredibly detailed reports, and Pruitt's people sat there one-sided, except for occasionally saying, I don't know what that word means, or tell me more. Then they took this information, and presumably it is now in the hands of the polluters, who have a textbook guide about how to defend yourself should a future administration come after you. In the Labor Department, the Obama administration posted press releases when workers were killed on the job, about 4,800 people a year, to shame those companies that follow dangerous practices. And sadly, there are companies that just have very little regard for the safety and welfare of their workers. They stopped doing that. We wrote about it at dcreport.org, which is the nonprofit news service my friends and I created. They then put it back up. Now, I can't say one caused the other, just the timeline, but they then later took them down. They've stopped posting the deaths of workers. There used to be a page where they would list every worker. The last posting was in August of last year. And now, when asked for basic statistical information, how many people were electrocuted, how many fell, how many were crushed on the job, they won't tell you. That can only embolden the worst employers and lowers the bar and makes it difficult for the caring employers to endure the costs of safety. And they're doing this all throughout the government, and this just isn't making the news because it's a general rule in the news. We cover politics and we cover controversies. We don't cover government.
We cover the palace intrigue.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, well, I think the campaign coverage was atrocious. Donald Trump was not vetted the way every other previous presidential candidate in my lifetime has been. The coverage of the White House by the Times, by Politico, AP, the Washington Post, and some others has been fantastic. I mean, it's really been impressive. But that's what's going on in the White House. What matters to your life isn't the interpersonal games and the racist comments and the crazy tweets. It's the government policies that affect you and your health and your safety and your children.
But it does matter, does it not, David K. Johnston, whether President Trump is fit to serve. That's a fine line. And you have echoed something President Obama said during the 2016 presidential campaign, that Donald Trump is, quote, unfit to serve as president. I believe you have said he's unfit to hold any elected office, right?
Donald Trump is manifestly unfit to be president. He doesn't qualify to serve on the city council or the town council in suburban Rochester, Brighton, New York, where I live. He never did a single day of public services in his life before he took the oath of office. He is appallingly ignorant, as I document in both books. He is totally incurious. He has no understanding of science whatsoever. He claims to be the world's greatest expert on 20 subjects, and on one of them, the one on which I'm a world-known expert, tax policy, Trump says that he knows more than anyone else in the history of the world, but he also testified under oath he doesn't know anything about accounting. Well, to say you're a tax expert and you don't know anything about accounting is the equivalent of saying, I'm the world's greatest pilot. What's a wing?
All right. My guest is David K. Johnston. He's with us to talk about his new book, It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. And we'll be right back with lots more. We're back with an interview I had with Pulitzer Prize winning author David K. Johnston about his latest book, It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America, published by Simon & Schuster. When we returned from the break, I asked him whether it really is worse than we think.
Yes, and we picked that title, Jamie, because the excellent coverage of what goes on in the White House, but the minimal to non-existent coverage of what's going on in our government. And I want to emphasize, I always say, and at our news service, dcreport.org, that my friends and I created, we always talk about our government. We own it. We should act like owners. It's unfortunate that the convention in news is the government, which is alienating and suggests to people it's a power unto itself. We created the government for our benefit. We're in control unless we choose not to be.
We the people.
Yeah.
So we left off talking about Donald Trump's tax expertise or lack thereof. The one thing he has managed to accomplish in his first year in office is a tax bill, a GOP tax cut. What effect is that having, David?
Well, let me tell you how much worse it is than you think. I'll bet, Jamie, you read that Apple is paying a $38 billion tax bill to bring back to the U.S. off profits that it put offshore without being taxed.
I did indeed.
Not true. You have to actually read the tax bill, and then as James Henry, who is the economist for DC Report, pointed out in a piece we ran a week or two ago, Apple got an 8-year interest-free loan from the federal government of that $38 billion. They pay 8% of it this year and 8% next year, and then in the last 2 years, the last year, 2025, they pay the last 25%. Wouldn't you like it if you could take your income taxes and get a government to give you an interest-free loan where you pay it back over 8 years and you keep the earnings from investing the money in that interest-free loan?
Indeed, we would. Most Americans. Most Americans. So how is it that, and of course his approval ratings are low, but he still has that core support, President Trump does. How is that?
Well, there are a couple of factors. I mean, one is there's a percentage of the population, looks to be a little more than a quarter, that hates the civil rights movement. That's what the whole political correctness stuff is about. People who don't want to sit next to an Asian on the airplane, have a Latino in the cockpit, and God forbid, they don't want to have a black woman boss they report to. And Trump has those people solidly. Secondly, Trump's economic platform was drawn from my trilogy on the American economy, perfectly legal on taxes, free lunch on subsidies, and the fine print on restraint of trade and monopolies. I know from things Donald said to other people that he watched me on television. Donald doesn't read books. He just reads headlines in the news. But he distilled from those books the fundamental point that I made, that the reason in 2012 the 90% of Americans had smaller incomes on average than in 1967 was because of these government policies nobody knew about until I dug them out of the record over about 15 years of research and then wrote these three books. And drain the swamp was simply his trademark phrase for what I had laid out in these books. Unfortunately, as president, what Donald immediately did was stock the swamp with swamp monsters. He ran against Goldman Sachs, but he put six Goldman Sachs people in charge. The political termites, the people you've never heard of out in the education department, are the people from the student loan industry. At the EPA, they're from the polluting companies. And every department, they put in people who we have rules and regulations to control their behavior and limit their behavior because of experience. And he's put in place, or his team has put in place, people who are undoing those protections for children, the elderly, the disabled, the poor, for workers, investors, for everybody. Mm.
And again, I ask you, David, obviously progressives and folks on the left are exercised about all of this, but among the constituency who wanted to drain the swamp, Trump's constituents, is it that they don't know what's happening or they really don't care?
No, I think they don't know. I do lots of right-wing radio. My policy is I talk to just about anybody, and it's clear from the questions that I get asked when people call in or that hosts pose that they are clueless about what's actually happening here, or in some cases they rationalize it. You know, one of the things about con artists, and Donald is the greatest con artist in the history of the world. He conned his way into the White House. People often cannot bring themselves to realize they've been had. There's plenty of news stories you've read over the years about a husband or a wife who lost all their money in some scam, and they didn't tell their spouse even because they were so ashamed and embarrassed. People who, they won't go to the police, and when the police get onto a case, they find victims who, you know, lost a lot of money, and they say, well, why didn't you come to us? And they go, I couldn't believe that I did this. And so it's hard to acknowledge that you were had, but you were. Donald Trump promised A and delivered the opposite of A. And can I go back to the tax bill for just a second?
Please do.
Donald said in September of 2015 that married couples would pay no taxes on the first $50,000 they made. The bill that was passed is $24,000, less than half of that. If the previous law were still in effect, the amount you wouldn't pay taxes on would be a little over $22,000. So you got less than $2,000 of tax-free income. And you lost something called miscellaneous deductions if you itemized. So remember how Donald is constantly telling you, I love the police. That's one of the smartest things he does. I love you, the crowd. I love the police. I love the veterans. Well, if he loves the police, he did a curious thing in this bill that he signed. It takes away police officers being able to deduct the cost of their uniforms. The same thing applies to firefighters and EMTs. The dry cleaning of their uniforms, the purchase of Sam Brown belts, of guns, of ammunition, no longer deductible. Union dues, no longer deductible. The forgotten man was forgotten by Donald about 24 hours after he took the oath of office.
Unbelievable. David K. Johnston is my guest. His new book is It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. Simon & Schuster is the publisher. And, you know, while we're on the subject of taxes, you know where I'm going. Let's talk about Donald Trump's recent tax returns. Now, I think you broke the news about one of Trump's tax returns. Do we know anything new? Should we just give up on this?
Well, yeah, I got Donald's 2005 Form 1040 in the mail last year, and it was actually a very revealing story about the press. Journalists who don't understand tax, and I don't expect, most journalists are generalists, I don't expect them to have my knowledge of tax, couldn't even get right the numbers on the tax return. They took the White House press release, which inflated the amount of tax Trump paid, instead of what was right in front of them on the tax return, and gave him credit for paying more taxes than he did, income taxes than he did. Bob Mueller has Trump's tax return. And the reason we know that is he's a highly competent prosecutor with a team of them, and it's one of the first things they would have done. And those tax returns are the opening door point to look into Donald's books and records. And as I describe, and it's even worse than you think, Donald has a long history of hiding records, going to incredible extremes to hide records from auditors, particularly from the city of New York.
But David, is that evidence that Donald Trump has violated tax law?
Sure. I mean, Donald was over his 1984 tax return, the biggest year he had up to that point. Trump Tower had just opened, and his first casino in Atlantic City opened. He was tried civilly by the state of New York and the city of New York for tax fraud, lost both cases, and his own lawyer and accountant of many years standing testified, quote, "That's my signature on the tax return, but neither I nor my law firm prepared that return." That's as good evidence, Jamie, as you're ever going to hear of tax fraud that could have been prosecuted criminally. But what Mueller's team, I suspect, is most looking for is money laundering for the Russians and payments from the Russians that make no economic sense. If you're Vladimir Putin, you look at the world in part the way the venture capitalists on Sand Hill Road in Palo Alto do. You got 1,000 opportunities out there. You pick 100. 95 of them lose everything. 4 of them make back the money the 95 lost. And then you get Google or Amazon, or if you're Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump. And the Russians have been grooming Trump for years. He's had numerous interactions I go to in the details of in both books that make no economic sense, overpaying for properties, a casino run on the floor directly below Trump's three-level residence in Trump Tower, and Trump, I had no idea. Gambling going on there, I had no idea. The tax returns will turn out to be very important to understanding why it is that the way Donald Trump talks about Vladimir Putin is the way mob soldiers who are being secret recorded by law enforcement talk about the boss of their mob.
I'm Jamie Floyd. This is Midday, and my guest is David K. Johnston. David, I think one of the reasons the reporting on the Trump White House, specifically with regard to policy and substance, is so thin, if you would agree with that characterization, is because there's so much news. I mean, not only do we have the regular news of day that we have to report, right, and other important stories like Me Too and everything that's happening in that arena, but just with regard to Donald Trump, there's obstruction, there's collusion, or what I would call conspiracy. There's the whole conflict of interest and the tax problem. There's the emoluments business,
right,
which I guess I could have you explain for people. They're not all the same, right?
No.
And we haven't even talked about the 25th Amendment and impeachment. It's a lot to try and lay out. And every day there seems to be a new headline
right.
under one of these umbrellas. It's difficult, I think.
Jamie, I thoroughly agree with you. And the reason I did this book was that out of this cacophony, that even if you're an incredibly diligent follower of the news, I spend 5 hours a day reading, you can't really have a coherent understanding of what's going on. And so what I set out to do in this book, and what a lot of the reviewers have all said about it, is that this book will explain to you what they're doing to the government and bring coherence to what's going on here. And absolutely, the White House, with all the, frankly, craziness that goes on, you know, Donald is at times delusional. He makes things up when he doesn't know things. He says things that are ridiculous on all sorts of subjects, global warming, nuclear weapons, et cetera, that just straightening out and explaining to people the reality of the world, not what's in his mind, where, remember, the best advisors in the world, Trump says, reside in his own head, is a major job. And one of the points I try to get people to understand is if you sat down next to Donald Trump on a coast-to-coast flight, you didn't know who he was, and let's take the word billionaire out of this, and you got into a conversation with him, by the time you reached Pittsburgh, you would say to yourself, who is this nut job I am sitting next to? The things that he says that make no sense, that are self-aggrandizing, that are fact-free. You know, Donald claims to have the world's greatest memory, except when he can't recall. There's a chapter in the book about how he wants to go back to steam catapults for aircraft carriers because you have to be an Einstein to understand digital. Digital, it's so complicated. You need to be an Einstein, except they're not digital. They're electromechanical. They're the same basic technique used on modern roller coasters. But if you don't know anything about science, and that's Trump, you come up with these crazy statements.
Right. So there's understanding the man who is president of the United States.
Yep.
There's the waterfall of facts that we have to deal with on a daily basis, some of them with constitutional consequence. And then there's all the other news.
Right. It's, you know, Donald is, in the campaign and in the White House, the equivalent of a car wreck you see on the other side of the highway. And let's face it, we all slow down and rubber deck, every single one of us. And he brings to that auto wreck dancing girls, a marching band, and fireworks, and you just can't turn away from it.
So David K. Johnston, what are the prospects that President Trump or the Republicans will be held politically or legally accountable for any of the above that we talked about, the obstruction, the conspiracy, a conflict of interest, the emoluments business, you know, accepting gifts, which you're not supposed to do, before the year 2020?
And accepting money from the federal government and the states at your businesses, which you're not supposed to
hotels, et cetera,
under the domestic emoluments clause.
Right.
You know, this is where it's up to us. Some people get upset when I say this, but, you know, you get the government that you deserve. This November's elections, I believe, are the most important elections since the Civil War, and I'm including 1932 in that calculation. If the Republicans remain in control, and by historical averages they should lose control of the House, we will have made a choice in this country. We will have made a choice that in the future we want someone who is a demagogue like Trump but doesn't have his deficits, someone who's smart, has managerial skill, and knows what he's doing or she's doing. And we will, over time, see our liberties erode, and like Rome, we will cease to be a republic. It's just a function of time. If we decide that enough, and we need to have a different Congress, because a lot of prominent Republicans are saying now that the Republican leadership is utterly failing in its duties, which they are, to act as a check and a balance and have lost their moral core, then we will see something else happen. The 25th Amendment doesn't work for removing a president involuntarily unless Donald is something totally crazy, and he starts tearing his clothes off in public and screaming the Martians are coming. That's not going to happen.
And even then, there's a process.
That's right. But impeachment, which is holding hearings like Sam Ervin chaired during Watergate so Americans understood what Nixon had done, and it took a long time for people to realize the enormity of Richard Nixon's crimes, and altering public opinion to the point where, as happened with Nixon, all 535 members of Congress and the Senate were against him. That takes time, and it will provoke other crises. If we were to remove Donald Trump from office because of Russian interference, can Mike Pence become president? Because he's the beneficiary also of Russian interference. If we were to do that, then the Speaker of the House, who at that point presumably is Nancy Pelosi, would become president. You can imagine people in the street screaming bloody murder about a coup d'etat unless she agrees to be a caretaker president who basically does virtually nothing and doesn't involve herself in the next election. But this is a real test of, has our democracy atrophied to the point that we cannot restore it? Or is this a moment that will revive our democracy and the recognition by people that the whole idea of the United States, that we will ennoble the human spirit to see what people can achieve as a society and as individuals, but we do that through choosing our own destiny. If you say to yourself, I don't want to deal with politics, you know, let other people do that, you're choosing to give up control over your destiny. 100 million people did not vote in the last election, and those people outsourced it, and we can see the awful result of that.
David, I notice we have just about a minute left, but I notice that you dedicate this book to the late, great Wayne Barrett. Would you take a moment to say a word about that?
Yeah, Wayne Barrett was the first reporter to get on to Donald Trump. I regarded him as the big brother I never had because he was always telling me what I was doing wrong, and with good reason. Wayne was a reporter for 40 years for the Village Voice. I believe he was the best worker in New York City, and he had the best law enforcement sources. It was stunning to me when he would duke me into, for instance, an FBI agent who said, I'm from the New York Times, I don't know, but Wayne says you're okay, so I'll talk to you. He did extraordinary work, and unfortunately, Wayne, who was Trump's first biographer, he died the day before Donald Trump took office and had a funeral where politicians like Chuck Schumer got up and praised him for making them better politicians because they were afraid that if they did bad things, he would write about them, and he would. There were people in that audience who went to prison because of Wayne.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you for that tribute to Wayne. And for your book, it's called It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. It's published by Simon & Schuster. My great thanks to David K. Johnston.
Thank you, Jamie.